Father, we thank you again for this book. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the fact that we're here tonight. Please make this time worthwhile to us, Lord, because it's so important. The teaching of God's Word is the most valuable thing we have. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than silver. It's the greatest commodity we have because it's the very voice of God telling us about himself, ourselves, and our relationship to you in eternity, which we can begin to subscribe to now through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. Bless tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we got down to the place that we said we need to remember that there are only two ways to live in this life, and that's in the flesh or in the spirit. There's no third option. Do you know that, folks? We either live in the flesh or we live in the spirit. There is no third option. There's no middle between the two. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 8 trying to teach us this great, tremendous truth. You either follow the dictates of the flesh, which is constantly at us every day of our life. It tries its best to exert its sinful conditions to us because we have lived with that longer than, in a lot of cases, we live with it longer than we have the Spirit. But we've been saved a long time, we have the Spirit. But amazing thing, we learn so much more when walking by the flesh before we get saved. That's very rare we ever get to the point, unless we do a lot of study in this book, and growing in grace and knowledge, that we understand how the Spirit can help us overcome the flesh. We talk about it, but how it works is one thing. You know, you can talk about a lot of things, but unless you put it into practice, it'll never accomplish anything in our lives. And so Paul is trying to show us here, as he asks that question, O rich man, what shall I overcome this body of death? And he tells us now in chapter 8 exactly how that's done for the last number of weeks. So here I know that to follow the Holy Spirit of God is what he's insinuating that we have the capability of doing. I didn't have that before. A person unsaved doesn't have that until they trust Christ as Savior. And this leads them in paths of righteousness. In other words, you and I, when we got saved, we didn't get saved automatically. We got saved the way God gave the information to us to make a decision about eternal life. He gave us all the facts. It didn't come automatically. Now, I heard the gospel, but I didn't automatically get saved just because I heard the gospel, did you? I found myself, ladies and gentlemen, God didn't say, all right, I'll give you the gospel, you're automatically saved. No, that's not the way it is. There's a response to the gospel. Amen. Come on, women, now. It may be just a lie. It's not a work. It's an acknowledgement. The fact that what God said is true, and what I think of myself all these years of trying to make myself where God would be pleased and accept me is false, and I have to come his way, and I come to that point when God's Holy Spirit draws us. I come to that point, God, you're right, and I'm wrong, and so by faith I acknowledge to you that Jesus Christ has to be my Savior, and I receive him as that, and so doing, God has said he's given to us eternal life. Now, folks, I believe that by faith. It came by faith. And that's one of the reasons why, probably 3 years I was in a church and never got saved, because I looked at it as just words. It's more than words. A lot of folks in the world today looks at just words. No, this is a birth. And I keep saying that and going over it because you can't get away from the fact that we're born in this world physically. We'd be born again spiritually. So the question is, who have you been following this past week? If I've been following the flesh only, it could be a sign that I'm not saved. If I've been following, trying to find out how it is that God wants me to walk in the Spirit, it's a good sign I am, because I'm going to the source, which is the Word of God. I know I can't understand it by myself. I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I spend a lot of time asking the Holy Spirit to help me, and then keep records of everything I learned so I can go back to look at what I've seen and add to that, and I begin to see accumulation of knowledge that way. And God honors that, I believe, over a period of time. So when you talk about this thing of birth, first of all, go back. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get alone. I'd wonder, Lord, I'd like to think about, suppose I had been born in flesh, and I didn't know one thing about God. I never heard about God, never heard his name, never heard anything about him, and I was just born in flesh. Well, I'd be born with a fallen nature. But if I never heard about him, How would I learn about him? Because if I never heard about God as he really is, by being born in the flesh and a fallen man, I would have been introduced to a lot of gods, because a lot of people who have fallen have gods. And I tell you what, right here in America, there's a lot of them too. We don't have them on totem poles and bow down and kiss their toes and things like that. Maybe some do, but not don't. We just have them in our mind, and we have them in our home. We have them occupied of what we're doing. There comes anything that separates us from what God would have us to do anytime is a type of God. And so I want to know, what is it that I don't know one thing about God. I don't know anything about his name. I'm just born now. Maybe I hear the first time about God's, and I don't know. So where am I going to get my information at? Well, I'll tell you this. I'm glad I was born in the Bible Belt. I'm glad I was born to believe this Bible was the Word of God. Hey, folks, I know folks that didn't even say believed it was the Word of God, but they still didn't get saved until many years later. I'm glad I was there. So maybe I had an advantage. And by the way, what a shame for anybody to live in the Bible Belt for a period of time and die and go to hell. But there's something about this that brings responsibility. I did not get saved automatically. I got saved when I said to God, you're right and I'm wrong, and reached out by faith as near as I knew how and received the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 10 and other places, that I could understand what he said I had to do. By the way, once I got born again in the family of God, I didn't automatically start growing automatically either. You know what? If I never got in this book, I'd have never grown much at all. Do you know that God puts a responsibility that when you hear the gospel, to believe it and receive it? And he puts a responsibility that if I'm born into the family of God, to go into the book and let God speak to us from this book in turn of what we should be doing and not doing. And that helps me understand some things about life. Because I talk about whosoever will should come. I talk about what happens when I trust Christ. I mean, was it just something I believed and that was it? Or was there something that God did? Yes, God said he did something when we trusted Christ as Savior. And for me to understand the rest of this book, I'm going to have a look at some of that, because to teach this message about Jesus Christ in the depth it needs to be will bring a lot of persecution. Because people like things simple that you can just accept and then live anyway and just pray to heaven. That's not what this book teaches. This book teaches that if you get genuinely born again in the family of God, it is a birth. And there's ingredients of that birth. That's the reason I said, if I don't ever hear the gospel, I don't ever know what to be saved. You know why? Because it's the gospel seed, the incorruptible seed of the gospel, then Jesus Christ, that brought us attention that we need to be saved. And it's that Word of God. The incorruptible seed, Peter says, is the Word of God. And so when I heard the Word of God, my corruptible part of me didn't want to hear it. But the Word was incorruptible. And because the Word was incorruptible, it began to tear down the wall of my corruptness. And when I began to see that, suddenly I felt the conviction of the Spirit of God. And sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes Paul told the church at Corinth that some people that God uses to plant the seed, he uses some people to water the seed, and he uses some people to go alone, and all of a sudden they will receive the increase. So all of us are in this thing together. Every time I went to somebody, I don't mean they're going to save every time. It means they could, but if they don't, they actually have the seed sown in their heart. It might be some other soul that would go by one day and end up sowing more, in the sense that they'd water the seed that's already there. And it might be that even then they didn't get saved. If I understand this, what Paul told the church at Corinth, then it might be somebody came along one day and all of a sudden just had little to do, and God had been working and led them to the Lord. I mean, one night my wife and I were over here close to where. Behind every chapel, over that section, was went by knocking one night on the door, and a young couple just moved in there. We didn't know it; just walked in. And we walked in. We told them who we were, and talked a little bit, and then asked them about being if they had been saved. And they said no, and I began to go through the gospel plan of salvation. So both of them began to be very much disturbed. And when they did, they said, "You know, I am shocked you led us here tonight. I mean, that God led you here tonight. God had, you don't know anything about us, do you?" I said, "No, sir, I don't. We just know you were here. I'm shocked that God will lead you by here." And they began to tell how God had dealt with their heart already through others who'd been witnessing. And they when we came by, it was very easy. We led both of them to the Lord. I will never forget that night years ago. And they came into church and here for a period of while before they actually moved away. So you see, there's a case where The gospel, I had the gospel to give, but somebody had already been there and planted that seed and got it watered that seed. I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to see the increase than to go ahead and plant seed sometime, but we got to do it all, haven't we? That's what we got to be doing. So I know that the Word of God is powerful and can do a lot of things for people, but I think about that my first birth. And I go back, and I'm going to show the chart in a minute. I go back and I think, in my first birth, I didn't have a trio choice in that. God set up when He made man, you know, and go back, He made man, He made up a way that where He made man from the dust of the ground, made woman from the rib of man. And isn't it amazing that Adam came from the dust of the ground, God blew him breath of life, and then God created Eve from Adam, which came from the dust of the ground. So both came from the dust of the ground. And just one of them was a little more advanced when it was made because of the rib of Adam. And procreation. So God set up a wonderful thing that where there could be procreation and birth. And you heard me say this, and I'm going to say it again to get to this point. That where you can see birth, and that birth creates a new creation every time in God's procreation way. God brought two people together in love, and out of love of each other, that wonderful environment where in turn there is a production, a reproducing, and you have a child. A newborn baby every time, every time. It works. Get this in line, in mind. The way that God set up physical birth works. There's ingredients, and John 3 tells me how I have to look at that, and I've been done that. I'm not getting into that tonight because I got a whole message I preached a number of months, years ago about that. But I'm saying the method of birth works. And by the way, when you are born into this world and you go back and you think of your life and you see where you didn't grow much and did grow much and where you're at now, there's a process of growth. I think, now look now at the new birth. There's a method for new birth, and it works, folks. Out of that procedure, there's a seed which is the incorruptible Word of God. And when that seed is sown and fallen on that good ground, of course, you hear me say many times, there's spiritual conception. Now, the first birth, I had nothing to do with. I didn't have a choice. Did you? I didn't have a choice. But God brought me into my family through birth out of two people met together, fell in love, and in turn set up a home like God said, and the product of that home was to have children, reproduce there. Then I came along 19 years later. I learned a lot in 19 years. I didn't learn as much as I thought I knew, but a lot of things. Just life seemed so great as a youth coming on, even though we had a lot of serious problems in sense sometimes because of things in the home life, alcohol and some few other things at times. Most of the time it was a good time, but there was a few times there was some tough times. What I understand is that there, 19 years I came along, and then suddenly I began to hear, even though I had joined the church, I began to hear the gospel message. And there came a day that seed did something in my life. And if you think the same thing it did to you this time, though, I'm talking about a spiritual life. I came into the physical world, now I'm talking about a spiritual world. Spiritual world I didn't know anything about from the time I was born until I was 19 years old, other than what some people said about church. I was in church 3 years. There's a spiritual world. Now, I know now how God got me into this world as a birth. I'm so glad He helped me understand. Some of you think, well, being saved, just believe the Lord. If you don't believe Him, you're lost. And if you do believe Him, no. It's a birth, and I'm glad that I've got, not only have I studied it, but I got my charts to go back to reassure me what God has shown me in a deep study about what happened to me when I got saved. Bible verses after Bible verses to back up the fact that what God says is true. So I thought about the spiritual world, and then I began to feel that tug from the Holy Spirit as the Word of God was taught in the church that I was in, and that Holy Spirit drew through the Word of God, and then September 27, 1959, the only difference is, someone said, well, you made a decision then. I made a decision. The only thing I did is acknowledge that God was right and I was wrong. If you ever received Christ as your Savior and you were birthed into the family of God, you just said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. We have no work in it. There's no such a thing as work in it. Some people say, well, I believe that's a work. No, that's acknowledgement. It's saying to God, Father, I now see what you're saying through your word. You're right and I'm wrong. And I've received Christ as my personal Savior. And God teaches me the day that I do that, He'll give me the power to come to sons of God. Now, I see this. God made man in His image, and through procreation, He created man through actual birth, and He uses blood. If you look in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, He talks about He has one blood for all nations and all the human people on the earth. Now, you have different types of blood, but all of it is classified as blood. Do you agree with that? That's what's in this body. But it is an amazing thing that when Jesus came, when you have born the second time in the family of God, God became man through natural birth without sin as a child of God, being born as a babe. And through Christ, we can have spiritual birth, which makes us a child of God. And it's because of blood. But it's because of God's blood. Pure, holy, righteous, precious blood. And that's what does this for us. Now, when I trusted Christ as Savior, what happened? The Bible teaches us to do a person. And I'd like to look at that for just a few minutes, because now I see that 1 John 1:7 teaches that here in this case where I acknowledge God's right or wrong, I was washed in that precious blood. Now, these are here how I started with God and went through and began to look at myself, spirit and soul, and what happened, how Christ came in the body, what happened when I got saved, and what did God promise, those things. But I want to go to this one. This was a birth. When I got born into the family of God, that's when I really started studying. Now, to learn what God did for me, more so in hearsay and religion otherwise, what God did for me when I was born again. I understand physical birth better now than I ever understood. I've got news for it. I understand spiritual birth better now than I ever understood it, because it's a reality. When I looked at this system to start with, I looked at nothing. I looked at when I came into this, when God existed to start with, there was nothing. There was nothing except God and the spiritual world. Agree with me? Then he made the angels, all right? Now, what happened was in Genesis, he began to make the world. Now, out of all of this, nothing came to the world. So, from my understanding, all of this is the world. This is space, time, and matter. Without this, in the earth. Then on September 27, 1959, when I received Christ as my Savior, suddenly I found that inside this matter, the Lord Jesus came. And I got charged showing how, where he came from heaven, what happened, where we were at, where the home was at, where the wife and the husband was at, where the children's at, where God's at. All of those things for my clearance. See, I don't have a photographic mind. I'm slow. But I'll tell you, when I get it, I get it. And I find now, 4,000 years went by, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made the world, and I'd let this represent time, space, and matter without this. And everything that happened in the Old Testament. Then the day came that God sent his son. I have charts. His son came. And here's what happened. Here, Jesus Christ has been offered to the world. And everything God says that we get is in him. That's the reason you can understand preordained and predestination, things like that. Because God tells us everything he offers us is in Christ. And you got to be in him to have it. And it starts inside, not out. It starts inside out. And so I found the day came that when I said, well, now let's see, Jesus Christ. I know where the Bible's at. That's information. I know John 3:16 talks about love. And I see that really, somehow or another, this is God's doing. And then suddenly, Calvary was the emphasis that Jesus came and bled and died. Now, as I look, leave that just a moment. As I look at what we're talking about, I come back down there. As I look at this, and you go with me, look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Then you understand the rest. See, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't do this now, when we finish Romans chapter 8, and we get down to 18, 19, down to the end of this chapter, we're going to get some deep things. We're going to get things that God foreordained for the foundation of the world and what he did. He gets into things that most people just can't get it because it seems like so much. And then we compare those who say they're saved to being saved, and they live like the devil a lot of times they do, and then we say, man, they lost their salvation. But you got to understand, the birth is the thing that brings about this great thing of salvation, just like birth is what brings about physical life. So I go over to Ephesians, and look with me, and I'll pick this up again later, but just one verse I want you to look at, and then we'll get into the rest of this tonight. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 4, look with me. He's talking about, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't it amazing? He's talking about those who have been saved, already been blessed in heavenly places in Christ. Now watch verse 4. According as he has chosen who? Us. Now let me ask you, who are the us? I'll tell you, it's those who say, God, you're right and we're wrong, and I receive Christ as my Savior. I mean, not playing with him. Now notice, according to he had chosen us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of the grace, wherein he had made us acceptable in the beloved. Isn't it amazing? He said, I made you acceptable in the beloved. I put you in there. I baptized you into the body of Christ. All these things he said. So I say that, and then we'll leave this. I say that to say this. I'm saying that everything I have is because of Christ. It's in him. Hey, Ephesians 2 said the good works are in him. All of these things are in him. So I can't learn those things unless I'm in him. I can't be in him unless I'm born into him. And if I'm born into him, it's going to be more than just a profession of faith. It's going to be a reality of receiving something that I see began to change my life. And when I was young in Christ, it didn't change as fast. But now that I'm old, I have much more responsibility than when I were young in Christ, because knowledge brings requirements. And so I find this. The question is this then. When I heard the gospel, what happened? Jesus Christ did it all for me. There's no gap in it for him, what he's done for me or for you. He paid the sin debt in full. And even to me, to even say that I had to work, you know, he'd never save me if I hadn't trusted him. Well, that may be true, but I didn't work when I trusted him. I acknowledged him. I said, God, you're right. And by the way, it's just like when as a child of God now, when God tells us something, we just say, Lord, forgive us. You were right. We were wrong. Now, what happens is this. Here I was on the outside in time and space and matter in a physical body. One day I heard the gospel. I found out there was a church. Didn't know it was the body of Christ then. I found out I did have a Bible. I found out that God is love. I learned that from boy, but I understand it. You know, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. I mean, you know, I had that in my mind, but I didn't really understand it. And then I found out that this here is the error in time. This is what happened. God left the spiritual world and came through the bounds of time and was born in a body of flesh so he could become and do what I could not do for myself. And when he finished this at Calvary, he went back to be with the Father. I got charts of that. What happened when he went back, different places and so forth. I've got, and what God saw and what God did for the foundation of the world, what God saw. So I'd go back quickly to see these things. And now what happens is this. I began to hear the gospel even though I was in the church. And I remember years ago in Bible class, Dr. Thomas Lawrence was a Lafayette origin. He taught the life of Christ. And I will never forget when I was thinking on that, he said one day something that really blessed my heart to see something. You go in John chapter 10, and that's what this is. He told Christ, he went to Calvary, and he did all of this, and he did this too. The only reason I have this here, John chapter 10 says that Jesus Christ is the door. You can't get in here without access. I can't go anywhere and start drilling and try to get in there. I can't do any work and breakthrough. Twice in John 10, he says he's the door. I am the door. Read it for me. Well, John, I got him about. Read John 10. So maybe I can find it faster. Ah, boy. Praise God. I'll rest good tonight. Amen. Look in John chapter 10 with me just a moment. Look down, if you will, about verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The child of God is sheep, right? Refer to a sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Now, he wasn't talking about sheep that they had out there in the corral. He was using an example to understand who we are as God's children. Watch. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. Watch. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, he said, I'm the door. If any man comes by me, in by me, what do you say? They shall be what? Saved. So I looked and I began to see, this is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. I love to go back over these sheets. This is Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary. Out here, while I was hearing the gospel, even though I was in a church, there was the call, what is to be saved? What does it mean to trust Christ? I mean, what does it mean to be in Him? Certainly I can't eat Him. I'm like, be like the ones in talking about cannibalism when he's talking about eating my flesh and drink my blood. You know, a lot of folks can't get over that. A lot of unsaved people can't get over it and say, man, I ain't going to have nothing to do with that. And they don't realize that's symbolic of language. And turn. And so what happens, I was hearing that gospel. And all of a sudden, I'd have a draw at church sometime. And you know how it is. You get hold of that pew and just hold on to it. And God's just dealing with your heart. Maybe somebody come by and talk to you a little bit. You don't let nobody else know because, you know, hey, especially if you remember church. I remember church. Everybody thought everything was okay. That's a hard thing, too. And then suddenly, I began to realize, he said, I'm the door. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gives on but God's Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. The door of whosoever was there. Whosoever. What? God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Wait a minute. What did he say? I heard that as a child. But wait a minute. God so loved the world that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. That means no matter what I don't know about this and getting in, he said, whosoever, that's the door. So the gospel message is to whosoever will. They can come. But you can't pick your way any other way. That's works. There's only one way in there, and that's through the door. And Dr. I was doing this thing in mind and studying the life of Christ in college, and suddenly Dr. Thomas Lawrence said, Brother, I want to tell you something happy. Because we were talking about election, predestination, everything else. He said, when you really understand what Christ, everything's in here. Your works, the works that God has created for ordained is in him. We have to go to the Bible and find out what those works are. If I got saved and said, you know what, I'm going to start doing what I think God will have, what I have in the scripture, I'd be out of place. I'd be trying to dictate what it is. Everything I need to know, everything I need to do, everything that I have to do as a Christian, it's in him. Then I went back and I drew me a chart. And I saw God way back here in time. And I drew me a chart. What did he see? Well, I know this. He saw the flood. Yeah, I can agree with that. I know this. He saw Abraham. I know this. We saw the patriarchs. I know this. He saw the time that when Israel would go into bondage. Before he ever did. I'm talking about back here before he ever started anything, folks. This is God. He says, know to him his works, all things that he did. Not in sin. He knows and he works out. And everybody at the time, what he knows is responsible as they respond to him because he's going to deal fairly with us. It's not, it does not cause him to do unfairly with us. He does fairly with us. See, when Jesus would come and all those things down to the field. As a matter of fact, folks, hear me. God sits back here now and he knows exactly when he's coming back. Jesus coming back for the church. He knows exactly when it is. So I began to see I needed to understand this. And suddenly, this whosoever door was open wide. It was real wide. Though God says narrow, it's go to Christ, it's wide. If I'm going to have whatever office is in here, I've got to come through that door, which is Christ. And he said, just keep in mind, when you humble yourself to the place of God, you're right. And I'm wrong. I'm trying to live this life, and it's no good because I don't understand it. Like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And there's that sign, whosoever will. And then when you all of a sudden say, I believe, I confess from my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart God's raised from the dead. I believe, dear Father, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe to his ministry receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. I don't know, Lord, just how I have to do it. With all of my soul, with all my might, I reach out by faith and I trust your son as my personal savior. And he said, that door's open, already open. And you step inside and you find the love of God. He gives you his Holy Spirit. I got a chart where he gives me his Holy Spirit. And I find out, hey, he's not even going to leave me alone now as a child of God. And I thank God, why the Holy Spirit, Lord? And I start studying about Holy Spirit, and the whole old charts about the Holy Spirit. And I say then, Lord, help me yield to the Spirit of God. And he proves to me the Scriptures are the only way that he will, because that's his voice. He doesn't speak to me all of it, but this is his voice. I must be able to, with God's help, decide where the Spirit of God is speaking to the church and not speaking to the church. And by the way, he helps us understand that with growth. And then one day, Dr. Lawrence said, look, when you get inside and you begin to see all this that God has prepared and done for us in Christ, we don't deserve, we deserve hell. In here, I know I still deserve hell. But thank God what he's done. Folks, God has done so much for us this world already. No. People blaspheme God's name because they just don't know. And he said, look back, son. And you'll see when you walked in that whosoever door, and you walked inside and looked back, he said, foreordained before the foundation of the world. He knew you was going to be there. You didn't have anything to do with it. But God saw you in Christ when you got saved. He saw that. He saw me if I would not have trusted him. He didn't make me make the choice. He gave me the opportunity to make the choice. He gave me the wonderful and dealt with me and so did with you, all of dealt with us and put up with us and many and now even now puts up with us. But we're God's children. Now the difference now for me to understand, since I came in at the door, and 4 days before the foundation of the world on the back, that is God saw me before the world. He didn't say I'm going to save Keith, and I'm not going to say Ennis. Or I'm going to save Ennis and not save Keith. No, he didn't say that. But the host of a door opened up, and one who acknowledged that God's right and trusts Christ, then they get in and they say, hey, God saw me before the foundation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He saw me and let me have the gospel and hear it, but he didn't make me do a thing. He gave me the chance to accept Christ. And when I did understand the birth, he gave me his Holy Spirit. And then that's where I come back and see myself. And now I have circles. Like have circles. In that I have now the spirit. I have the old man. I have the new man. Christ is in the center of it. How these works charted out so I can go back and look exactly what happened. And since he's gave me this new nature, this is the new nature. I have circles here. This is the new nature of Christ that comes in. I come as natural man, fallen because of Calvary. I become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The only difference is Jesus didn't have the old fallen nature, but I do. And I have to understand, if Jesus lived a perfect life, why in the world can't I live a perfect life now? Because I understand my old nature is still here. He didn't have old nature, and therefore he would not have sinned, and he could. He did not sin because he, in a divine as he was, could not sin. He was God. But he lets me know, son, you still got that old flesh. And here's how he's got all these scriptures to tell it how it works. It works like this. The old man, the new man, what you have to do, what you don't have to do. And he lays this out as he writes to the churches and lets us know that once you know Christ as Savior, now the whole thing changes because now that I know Christ as Savior, I'm not worried about whether I'm going to hell or not, but now he says there's a whole new relationship with us as Father and Son. And my son replaced me, and therefore, with his mind through the scriptures, as you move, there'll be things that you can do to please me by obedience, simply by obedience. And here's the thing. As my child now in Christ, you're heirs and joint heirs with him. Not only that, you know what I'm going to do? Everything I have is yours, but I'm going to do this. If you obey me in obedience and serve me, I'm going to reward you. I don't have to. You don't have to reward your children for working if they're in your home. But we do. It's family, folks. It's family. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It's family. It's family. I love this. And so what happens, Romans 8 makes one thing clear. Living by faith is not automatically. A decision is required. Salvation didn't come automatically. We heard the message. God worked with us. He drew us. The gospel drawed us. And it came a time that we accepted Christ as Savior. Neither does Christian growth come automatically, because we have to yield to the Spirit of God as He's trying to teach us. What? God gave us the Holy Spirit of God for the purpose of down payment, to get us home and teach us why we go, how we should serve God, and what we should be doing with Him at that particular time. So here's where we're at, and we'll close. The flesh has desire for you now. I'm saved. You're saved. Right in the middle here, there is a spiritual circumcision that God said, I've cut away the filth of the flesh, but you haven't taken it out of this body yet. The old craving you had before is going to be there, but you've got a new creation in Christ Jesus. That new creation is absolutely perfect in Christ Jesus. The only difference is, if you don't learn to feed it like you do the old, then you're dominated, and you won't live that sense of where people see Christ in you. But if you feed the new nature, all of a sudden you'll dominate, and you'll be doing things you didn't think you could do. And people again see Christ in you. So what happens, the flesh has a desire for you, but the Spirit also has a desire for you. The only problem is they go in opposite directions. So that's the reason of battle. I'm concerned. I'm really believe sometimes when some bad days I had, is something about the battle that's going on in me between Satan and God, because the old new man that I know is there, but I really don't know why until I get into the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures that brings enlightenment. And I find this, that they're moving opposite direction, but they have this in common. Both wants to control my life. The Holy Spirit wants to control my life for the best. And you find the old man, which is Satan influence, wants to control my life for the worst. The flesh, old man, loves to wallow in sin. And the Holy Spirit is grieved if there's any sin in our life. That's what Paul told the church of Ephesus. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God till we seal the day of redemption. Because who can grieve Him? And that's how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so I see this. To the child of God, let's make it personal with two questions that bring the whole discussion down to where we're living at. And I'll leave with this thought. When we get to the rest of Romans, this is a powerful chapter that gets into a lot of things that's a blessing. But you see that these things are in Christ. So we make this analysis. The question is this. Will I today choose to rely by faith upon the Holy Spirit to guide me? And will I today choose to say no to my flesh when I'm tempted to do something that's wrong? In other words, this answer, those two questions. Will I yield to the flesh and try to follow God? Or when the flesh comes up, will I yield to the flesh and walk according to the flesh, which gives me understanding what God is saying? To walk in the Spirit, I'm yielding to the Spirit. To walk in the flesh, I'm yielding to the flesh. And God has promised me that in that line where it's at dividing, greater is He that's in me that through Jesus Christ than in the world. So that simply says, if I get blindsided somewhere or another, something happens, and suddenly, you know, the flesh is pleased and the Holy Spirit is not, then I'm in a place that God don't want me to be. And He wants me to straighten it out. And He'll let me know that, because these two powers are in us, working as children of God. And I thank God, I see that when I get to that, we get down to verse 18 now next week and begin to go down. You're going to understand some things. We're not all along in these battles that's going on here, because we have the Holy Spirit of God and we have the Word of God. So I don't care what you and I face, keep this in mind. I don't care what we face, and some things are horrible. And I've seen some people face some things that I wonder if I could face, even as a child of God. And sometimes I'd come before the Lord and say, Lord, I sure hope You prepare me for that. Please prepare me for that. Don't let me get to a place and not be prepared for something that I can't face, because I believe I can face anything with You, but I have to be prepared for it. And so when I get there, I begin to understand that the entire, when I began to see what's happened to this earth because of the curse of sin, then Paul's letting us know the sin of man didn't just affect humanity. It affected the entire universe, ladies and gentlemen. Everything. In fact, it infects everything where man goes at. If man goes to space, sin's going to affect it out there because it's sin through God's creation of man that brings about the troubles that we have in this life. Father, Lord, I pray you bless this. Maybe I rapidly went to it too fast, but Lord, as we approach next week and we'll soon be out of chapter 8 and we'll be moving into something else, but I do thank you. I've gone back and who knows, maybe I needed strengthening for something I'm going to have to face I don't know nothing about, and it's helped me more than anybody else. But I thank you for being good. I'm so glad. I don't know why years ago I spent so much time at night and dead hours and all of this about studying. But Lord, I know this. Seem like you're helping me as more now than you did back in those days, even though I was helped, I'm sure, at the time, because I got a lot of questions settled about life. I'd go somewhere and someone say this, someone say that, so it seemed right, they seemed right, everybody seemed right. Lord, I don't know. I just know this, that you're right. You'll always be right. And I just want to be where I can understand some things, not all things, but just some things about where I'm at, what I'm doing for your glory, and be the best I can be to your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.